Good afternoon, everyone. Afternoon. You may have, it's kind of a bit cold outside, but it's kind of a bit hot inside. It's kind of warm, but it's okay. Much better because, you know, sanay na tayo sa cold. And again, welcome everyone to this church. Last week, I remember we jumped back when we went there last time. But this time, I know marami sa atin ang nag-vacation. Some of the people went on vacation, but that will not stop us from studying God's Word. And for this afternoon, I'm gonna be speaking on the subject. Actually, I was talking to Brother Len the other day regarding our team. The team for the month is sa bulletin, I mean sa pamphlet, is more on going forward. But I'm going to debate somehow on this theme that the Lord impressed me for this afternoon. And my theme for this afternoon is about mercy and grace. So hindi yan yung kapitbahay niya si mercy tsaka si grace. It's about mercy and grace. And the title of the message is on the board. Medyo malaki na ngayon, ha? It's improving. Revealing our neighbor. So, sino nga ba yung ating neighbor? And it's the Good Samaritan. And the text will be coming from the book of Luke. And it can be found on Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. So, remember, I think all of us know si Luke, one of the disciples, and he's a physician. So, but before I start discussing about this subject, I'd like us to watch a short film clip that I borrowed from the internet. So let's watch this. Let me close the light. Thank you. And fun. Thank you. I guess every one of you are familiar with that story. But I think this is a very common story that some of you or some of us might have learned it from our Sunday school. And that story is about the story of the Good Samaritan. And it was introduced by the Lord Jesus Christ during the time that he was ministering to the people. So again, this is our topic, revealing our neighbor, the Good Samaritan. I just simply played that video so at least some of you could have some visual of what transpired during that time. And the type of our sermon for this afternoon is a narrative expository. Pag sinabi natin narrative, I'm just simply going to say some story and we will try to draw some lessons out of it. And that's the video. And for our purpose, the purpose of our study for this afternoon is number one, to understand the purpose of this parable. We have heard this parable so many times already, but I guess eventually we will find out that the way we understand it is different from the real intention of the writer. Second, if it's necessary, we will try to correct our mindset on how we look at it. Okay? And lastly, to be able to know how we can apply this in our life. But before we do, let's come to the Lord first in prayer. Our Heavenly Father God, again, we would like to thank you this afternoon, Lord, that you have given each one of us an opportunity, Lord God, to study your word. Lord, we pray that that this time, Lord God, that you will be the one to deliver your message. Give us, Lord, an attentive heart, an attentive ear, and an attentive eyes, Lord God, to what you're going to deliver us tonight or this afternoon. Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and our mind and prepare us, Lord God, to receive your message for this afternoon. Lord, I personally pray that you cover me at the back of your cross and you only alone, Lord God, be glorified in our midst. Thank you for your presence, Lord God. We pray for a simple message, Lord God, and be the one to deliver the message, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before we proceed with our discussion or our message, let me give you some background first about the subject that we're going to discuss. So the first question that probably a lot of you would be asking, or a lot of us would be asking, is the question of what is a parable? What is a Tagalog ng parable? In our Tagalog language, what is a parable? Parabola, parang pinagdaga naman lang. I think it's a badale. Sino ba makata sa atin? Parabola. Hindi parabola eh. Parable is like a kalinhaga. Pwede? Hindi pa rin. Or kawikaan? Hindi, kawikaan is more of like a simple phrase. But anyway, a parable, by definition, let me discuss. A parable, by definition, is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. So it's a short story. May singing story lang siya, yun yung parable. It's a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principles, or moral lesson. So in short, it is just a story, okay? With the intention of exposing a lesson or to highlight some truth about that parable. Literally means something cast alongside and something else. In Greek, kung babasahin natin sa Greek meaning, ang sabi, what said, a parable is cast alongside. So there is a big thing, or there is a big story, and then you create another story along with that big story to give emphasis to that big story. So that's why there is a parable. So, how many parables do we see in the New Testament? Probably that's another question. Actually, there are 35 parables in the New Testament. And mind you, it's all the Lord Jesus Christ's parable. Meron ba kayong alam? Do you know somebody who have a parable in the New Testament besides the Lord Jesus Christ? No, I mean, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, meron pa bang, is there any other person who mentioned a parable? There's not. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important for us to understand this parable. Again, how many? 35. Yeah, so just an FYI. And for a time in his ministry, Jesus relied heavily on parables. He taught many of them. And in fact, according to Mark chapter 4, verse 34, he did not say anything to them without using a parable. So meaning, during the time that the Lord Jesus Christ is ministering to us, on the earthly time, here on earth, he was using parables as frequent as often. So sabi nga doon sa Mark 4:34, he always mentioned a parable. So during the time na nag-teach ang Panginoon. So when did it start? What was the first parable that the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned or delivered? Do you still remember? It was the parable of the seed and the soil. Okay? So it started when the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned or tells us about the parable of the seed and the soil. So I'm just simply giving you some background. What is a parable? So we all know that a parable is a short story cast alongside a big story. So in some sense, if there's a big news, there is a smaller news that would help emphasize the big news. So that is a parable. So why a parable? Probably, you know, a lot of us would question, why did the Lord Jesus Christ use a parable? What is his purpose of using a parable? To entertain us, para bigyan tayo ng magandang story, just to give us a good story? No, there is a purpose. You know, Jesus' parables were stories that were cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate the truth. His parables were teaching aids and can be brought as an extended analogies or inspired comparisons. It is an earthly story, listen to this, it is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. Okay? Before he interpreted his parable, he drew his disciples away from the crowd, and when the disciple asked him, say one time the disciple asked the Lord Jesus Christ, why did he speak in parables? Ganun siya eh. He was being asked by the disciples, and this is what he said. On Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus explained that his use of parable have two folds, have two intention, or have two reasons. The first reason is to reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it. Okay? The purpose of the parable is for him to reveal the truth, yung katotohanan, to those who wanted to know them. And the second fold, or the second reason, is to conceal or to hide the truth from those who are indifferent. So ibig sabihin, in some way, the parable are intended for us Christians. Because he wants to reveal the truth sa mga unbelievers, to the unbelievers, no. He wants to reveal the truth to us believers, to Christians. And he wants to hide something, not for us, but for unbelievers. That's what he said on Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And also on Mark 4, verse 11, Jesus answered, itong sabi niya, this is what he said to his disciple, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, most of the parables that the Lord Jesus Christ pertains to the kingdom of heaven. And this is what he said, I mentioned this to you so that you could understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And who is he talking here? His disciples. And then, but to them, which he is referring to the non-believers, it has not been granted. So, in short, today, we understand that parables are intended for us. Hindi ito para sa mga ibang tao. This is not for other people. This is for us, believers. Okay, believers. It is not for unbelievers. Okay, when we say unbelievers, that's a different story. It's a different explanation. What is an unbeliever? You know, Jesus made sure his disciple understood the meaning of the parable. When he was done, when he was alone with his own disciple, he explained everything to them. If you look at your Bible, Mark chapter 4, verse 34, it was mentioned that he explained everything to them, including all the parables. So is it important to understand the parable? Of course. If not, then let's go home. Well, you know, there's no point why we're studying here, right? So the reason why we're studying the parable, because it is important. You know, after telling his parable to the disciple, Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Sino daw may mga tenga? Let them hear. That can be found on Mark chapter 4, verse 9. This was a call to listen to the parables. Not just the one who would listen to an ordinary story, but as one who is seeking the truth of God. So it is important for us because, you know, God wants us to understand this parable. And mind you, let me go now to my introduction. There are a lot of people outside the Christian or the believers community that is having issues understanding the parable. In Tagalog, marami pong mga tao nahihirapan intindihin yung mga parable. There are a lot of people that are not Christians are having difficulties understanding the parables. And that is, you know, expected. We should expect that to happen. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned, He is hiding the truth to those, He was hiding the truth to those who are indifferent, and He was revealing the truth to those who seek it. And what will be the result? Of course, the result is, for those people outside, or those people who are not believers, they would have difficulties understanding the parable. Sometimes they would accept this flatly or in a shallow understanding. But for us, Christian, we need to understand it in the deeper meaning. Kailangan maintindihan natin. We need to understand it thoroughly. You know, the way it was intended. Not just a simple, it's just a simple story. Okay? Let me give you a prerequisite. A prerequisite before we study or before we jump in our lesson for today. When we say prerequisite, it means what? Prerequisite. What do you mean by prerequisite? It's a requirement. Okay. Before we study this, there is a prerequisite that we have to understand before reading a parable. There are few things that would be required for us. Number one, the perimeter. The parable, you know, our salvation story. Now, I heard this from John MacArthur. Sabi niya ganun, parables are salvation story. What do you mean, Brother Adel? Every parable is intended for us to understand and go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? A parable is not intended to entertain us. A parable is not intended to give us something to think about. But a parable is intended for us to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every parable, it's a salvation story. When we say salvation, it is for saving our soul. Secondly, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson to give additional weight. Is it a true-to-life story? No. A parable is something that the Lord Jesus Christ came up into his mind. He just simply invented it in his mind to give a deeper weight about the story. Hindi ito talaga nangyari. You know, if you're going to understand a parable, that's the reason why it's called a parable, because it is a make-believe story. But the intention is to give way to the moral lesson of the bigger picture. Okay? The premise. Okay, kanina sabi natin the prerequisite, which is the perimeter. So when we are reading a parable, we need to understand it's a salvation story. Number two, it's a simple story to give or illustrate a moral lesson. And the premise is that the story of the Good Samaritan is told by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is meant to be understood in the context of what was already been said in Luke chapter 10. And we have to remember that in praising the Father, Jesus has said, "I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide this thing from the wise and intelligent, and did this reveal them to babes." Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Okay, sabi ng Panginoon in Tagalog, I'm thankful because you are hiding this. I mean, you are revealing this to us and hiding this to the wise. So there is the point. You know, we need to understand that this parable is not intended for everyone. It is only intended for us believers. Okay, so yun yung ating prerequisite. We need to understand that it's a salvation story. It's a simple story. It's not true to life. It is a make-believe story. And second and thirdly, this is something that is hidden from the unbelievers, but only revealed to the believers. Okay, let's talk about the problem. Brother Adel, you mentioned the prerequisite in studying the parable. We're not yet on the parable, okay? I'm just simply giving you some background first. I'm telling you the problem. Karina, I mentioned a while ago that there are some people having difficulties. That's a problem. Why? Let's look at this. Let's look at some of the examples. The biggest problem about parable is misconception. When we say misconception, is misunderstanding. Yung maling pagkakaunawa, Tagalog, maling intindi. In English, wrong understanding or misunderstood. And that is the biggest problem about people studying the subject of parable. And it is not only during our time. This is not only during our modern day time. It also happened during the early church time. Let me give you a good example. Do we need to understand this? Yes, of course. Early church time, there is this person, Origen of Damascus. He was a Greek scholar, ascetic, and an early Christian theologian who was born and spent the first half of his career in Alexandria. He was a prolific writer in the multiple branches of theology. Okay? And this is what he said about the parable. His interpretation of the Good Samaritan, remember, he interprets the parable of the Good Samaritan, and this is how he interprets it. He tells us elsewhere and said that the man who set forth is Adam. Jerusalem is paradise, Jericho the world, the thieves, the invincible power, the priests, the law, the Levites, the prophets, the Samaritan, Christ, the inn, which takes in everyone, the church, and the Samaritan's promise is the second coming. Do you understand what he said? Ang sabi niya, Origen said, you know, when he read the parable, he tries to analogize it, or allegorically, okay? I'm having a hard time with it. Allegorically means giving or trying to extract some secret information. So when he was reading the parable, that is his interpretation. He said that the man was Adam, Jerusalem is the paradise, Jericho is the world, the thieves are the invisible power, the priest was the law, the Levites are the prophet, the Samaritan is the Christ, the wounds is the disobedience, the beast of the burden, the body of Christ, the inn which takes in everyone is the church, and the Samaritan promise, the second coming of the Christ. So basically, what the problem is, he's trying to spiritualize things that is not necessary or that is not needed. You know, yung ini-spiritualize na yung mga bagay-bagay na hindi nyo naman dapat kailangan spiritualize. Because the parable of the Good Samaritan is so simple that anyone can understand. There is no secret meaning about it. You know, we don't need to try to dig a deeper meaning about it. Kasi maraming ganyan eh. You know, there are a lot of people like that. That everything that they do, they always spiritualize things. O, nagkasakit ako. Ano ba yung spiritual meaning nito? Nagkasakit ka lang, may spiritual meaning na. No, you know, we have to understand that reading the Bible, there are certain portion in the Bible that But anyway, there are some portion in the Bible that you have to understand that it's symbolic, especially when you pass those scriptures about the wings of the Lord. You know, yung the face of the Lord is like a lion. It doesn't necessarily mean that the face of the Lord is really looking like a lion, but we have to understand that it's a symbolic thing. Right? So we have to dig a deeper meaning. Allegorically, okay? But the parable of the Samaritan, you don't have to. Because it's a simple, direct to the point story that the Lord Jesus Christ just simply wanted to point out something. Okay? So that is the problem during the early church time. May mga tao that they are trying to find a deeper meaning on simple things. Okay? How about in the modern day time? Look at this. Actually, I found this in the internet. You can find this in sojourn.org. And I saw this. You know, have you heard that word to be a good Samaritan? What is the first thing that comes to our mind when we say, be a good Samaritan? To be a giver. You got to be compassionate. That is the very first thing that the common people would know is, you know, being helpful. Being a Samaritan. Yung tutulong ka if somebody is needing. Okay. That's wrong. And, you know, this is what I'm trying to say. You know, a lot of us, sometimes we really do not understand the fullest meaning. We just simply thought, oh, being a good Samaritan, it's just to give. Well, honestly, there's nothing wrong about it. But the problem is, it is not complete. It is not complete. Let me explain. You know, the problem during the modern church time, look at this. This is the Sojourn Org. The Sojourn Org, when I click on their website, on the donate portion, you could see that they're using the verse, and thou shalt love your neighbor. They're using verse. You know, printing, you know, basically, they want, if you want to donate in their website, they can provide you a t-shirt with the Bible verse. Okay? Thou shalt love your neighbor and you shall love your neighbor t-shirt. Actually, the price is $18 if you want to donate on them. Okay? And they are basically, there was a comment here. Actually, you don't see it, but I highlighted it. You just go there, sojourn.org. The Bible command asks to love thy neighbor as yourself. They use Leviticus 19:18, which is okay. But this is what they said. But we prefer to take it one step further and love our neighbor even they are not like ourselves. So they are basically changing it. They are trying to get the context of giving, of loving thy neighbor to promote donations. There's nothing wrong, okay? There's nothing wrong. But this is where it comes wrong. When you go to their website, they are supporting LGBT. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. So that's the problem. If you go to their website, they are basically supporting the LGBT community. And basically the way they are asking for some assistance is using the Bible verse about the Good Samaritan. So basically they are telling, be a good Samaritan. You know, donate to people. But that is wrong. Because they are using that context in the wrong purpose. The purpose is to make donation to become compassionate. Okay, let me go to my concept. Compassion is a good virtue. Okay, yung magbigay tayo. When we give, when we begin kind to people, it's a good virtue. There's nothing wrong on it. But still, if we're going to understand the parable of the Good Samaritan, it is not complete. This is why many is familiar with this parable, but most commonly misunderstood it. Maraming tao, you know, a lot of people know the parable of the Good Samaritan. Everywhere you go, you know, organization upon organization, they would give alms, they would help the poor, they would always use this slogan, you know, be a good Samaritan. But the problem is, they misunderstood the real meaning of that parable. We're going to jump on it. Many is familiar with the story, but not with the point of the story. But this is expected, just like what I mentioned to you a while ago, as what we have learned from the Lord. Because the Lord said, He will reveal the truth to those who wanted to know it, and to conceal the truth to those who were indifferent. And that is the reason why they are misunderstanding it. Because the Lord is trying to hide it from them. And this is what we're going to study. This is what we're trying to reveal. And that is the reason why revealing the neighbor, the Good Samaritan. So that we could understand the real meaning of the parable. Again, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with good virtues, being compassionate, okay yan. But is that what's the real context about the parable of the Good Samaritan? We will see. And let me go now to the body of my message. My preposition. You know, this afternoon, allow me to share with you our message entitled, Revealing Our Neighbor, the Good Samaritan. We will try to understand this so that we will not miss what is intended for each one of us, and we have to, so that we could fully understand its point. So let me go now to the body of the message. Revealing Our Neighbor, the Good Samaritan. Okay. So this afternoon I'll be talking on this subject about the parable of the Good Samaritan in 3 points. The first point is the occasion of the parable. We will understand why this parable has been introduced. What's the occasion? Second, we will try to understand the overview, the real meaning, the real intention, why this parable has come about. And lastly, we will try to understand or the observation about this parable. So let's start. Verse 25, and sabi niya noon, this, we're studying the occasion of the parable. Ano ba, what is the situation at that time? Why is this parable came about? Okay, in verse 25, it says there, on one day, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Sabi niya noon, by asking him, this is what he said. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay, so what can we see here? The first thing that we could see here is the character involved in this situation. Number one is the expert in the law. You know, the expert in the law are the lawyers. Okay, these are not just ordinary lawyers. These are lawyers, or these are scribes, lawyers of the commandments, of the law, yung time. Scribe, this word scribe, a person who writes books or document by hand in hieratic cuneiform or other script, and that may help keep track of records for priests and government. Okay, ito sila. These are lawyers, okay? These are not the lawyers of the modern day. These are the lawyers. So, you know, the text tells us that this lawyer comes to our Lord and asks him this question to put Jesus to test. It is a hypothetical question because he appears to be a seeker, but he is not. He's not really seeking to be taught by Jesus, nor he is interested in finding the way to eternal life. Wala siyang ganong intention. He believes he understands all things. Ang pagkakakilala niya sa sarili niya is he knows everything. You know, he does not believe that Jesus Christ, an uneducated man, as far as he thought, could possibly teach him. Ang alam niya, hindi naman ako kaya tuwan ni Jesus Christ. Pero let me try and approach him and test him. He forged respect for Jesus as a teacher of the law. But he is only seeking to test Jesus by questioning him so that he can say, your teaching is not consistent with the law. That is his intention. Kaya siya lumapit sa Panginoon, the reason why he opposed the Lord Jesus Christ, because he wants to humiliate Jesus Christ and tell him, your teaching is not in line with the law. So when the lawyer asks, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? This phrase is not from the Old Testament. Wala kayong mababasa. You can never read this from the Old Testament. No? What shall I do to inherit the kingdom of the eternal life? You know, on the Old Testament law, you will see the word do this and live. And the lawyer is using Jesus' terminology in asking, what is the essence of your teaching? He wants to take the bottom line of Jesus' system and compare it with the bottom line of Judaism so that he can say, your system is wrong. So basically, he approached the Lord Jesus Christ with only one intention, para mayayin niya ang Panginoon Jesus. To humiliate the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his only intention. Remember, he's an expert of the law. And what can we see here? You know, we can see here self-righteousness. You know, building oneself in the expense of other people. Hindi mo ay tatapinin mo yung basila. Sila ba yung tipo ng tao na they would like to climb the ladder in the expense of other people? So this is the, you know, this is the character of this lawyer. He is untruthful with selfish intention and wrong motive. And look at what Jesus replied on this question. So Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? You know, what was the law? How do we understand it? How do we apply it? You know, a lot of people memorize the law, and a lot of people knows about it, but not a lot of people knows how to apply it. Marami sa atin, you know, we memorize verses upon verses, but sometimes we fail to understand and apply it into our life. And this is the reason why we need to thoroughly study what is being told about us. So the man answered, sabi nung lalaki, nung lawyer, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if we are going to look at this, this was written in the New Testament, but basically, the lawyer just simply quoting the Old Testament. He was quoting this on Leviticus 19:18 and Deuteronomy 6:5. Basically, that is the same verse that the lawyer is telling the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? He answered, love the Lord your God. So that's what it is. So the question now is, what can we see here? Ano ang makikita natin in this answer? Okay, and this is where I'm going to inject yung idea natin na we need to understand the real meaning of this parable. Number one, we could see here the perfect humility. Father, what do you mean by perfect humility? Remember, the lawyer said, love the Lord your God with all your this and with all your that, with all this blah, blah, blah. Right? And then, he equated it with what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So what can we see here? The Lord is basically trying to equate himself for us. And how humble is that? You know, knowing that the Lord is... Because we have to understand, if I'm God, I don't want to equate myself with you. But this is what he said to the lawyer. You have to love me just like the way you need to love your neighbors. So there is perfect humility, right? God is equating himself to us. Number two, there is a perfect requirement. The perfect requirement is all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind, and our entire being. Okay, so that is a perfect requirement. Who among us can supply that requirement? That's the truth. Nobody. Nobody can provide that perfect requirement. It's, you know, the reason why I highlighted the word all? Because that is the perfect requirement. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And what else? What can we see on this two verse, on this verse? The perfect proof. What do you mean? You know, the way we can prove our love to God is by loving others. Oh, I love God. Okay, prove it to me. You know, how can you say you love God if you cannot even forgive your brother? How can you say you love God when you cannot even, you know, make friends with your co-workers or with your enemy? That is the perfect proof, or, you know, proof. And lastly, the perfect path. What is the perfect path here? The perfect path is that all of us fail. Nobody can sustain. Nobody can do all of those requirements. You know, all of us are self-preserving. Right? All of us are all self-preserving. No one truly loves their neighbor. As I began on, love your neighbor as yourself. Really? Who among from us can say, I love my neighbor than myself? If we're going to be honest, no one. No one. Right? And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? You know, you answered correctly. Tama ka. You know, he said to the lawyer, your answer is right. There's nothing wrong with your answer. And then he said, do this and you will live. Lord, sabi mo, you know, in order for me to inherit the kingdom of God, if I have to accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Now, why all of a sudden you're asking this guy to do this? But the point of the problem, the point of the matter is that because he cannot. Because he cannot do this. And sabi nga nila, in order for you to understand the good news, you have to realize first the bad news. And the bad news is that we cannot surpass the requirement. That's the bad news. And this is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, then do it. So that eventually you will realize that you cannot, that you will fail. Okay, so this is, and of course, you know, the lawyer wants to justify himself. Probably he think, oh, you know what, I cannot pass that idea about, you know, loving God with all and all and all. So let me try to trick the Lord Jesus, you know, Jesus. And then he asked that second question, who is my neighbor? Siguro, you know, probably, you know, marami sa ating ganyan. You know, a lot of people is like that. You know, sometimes we are already cornered and then we're trying to make another way so that we, you know, hindi tayo mataya. Alam mo, sometimes, minsan, na-experience na ba yun, napaya ka na, pero bigla ka pa rin hihirit. You know, this is the same thing with the lawyer. Sometimes, you know, he already failed and then he is just simply trying to catch up and see if he can somehow escape that, you know, shameful thing. So this is the same thing what the lawyer did. And this is where, you know, the parable, the overview of the parable of the Samaritan. Give me 15 more minutes and I'll do that. The overview of the parable. So, first thing that we have to understand, the parable was mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ in answer to a question of the lawyer. And the question of the lawyer is, how can I inherit the kingdom of God? Right? So now, in order to answer that, he gave us this parable when he asked, who is my neighbor? So let's try to get the overview. On the overview, we could see three things. The trip, the trouble, and the test. Okay, the trip on verse 13. In reply, Jesus said, this is the parable, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a trip. There was a man traveling. We don't have to allegorically analyze or spiritualize this thing. This is just a simple trip. Okay? And number two, the trouble. What happened? When he was attacked by the robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So that was the problem. You know, this is the parable. Meron daw isang lalaki, nag-journey siya, and then he was robbed. And he was left dead. Diba na panood naman na? We saw that in the film clip. And now, let's go to the test. Let's go to the first two that has failed on verse 31 to 35. The first one is a priest who happened to be going down on the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Remember? The first person that passed by was a priest. And then the second one was a Levite. What's the difference between a priest and a Levite? The Levite is yung mas mababa yung rank niya. He's a much lower in ranks. He's just a support. Okay? The priest is the main person on the tabernacle. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed by on the other side. So he did the same thing. You know, they just simply passed by. He did not do anything at all. Now, let's go now to the one that passed on verse 33. Said, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him into an inn, and took care of him. In verse 35, the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and this is what he said. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So there are three persons here that undergo the test. 2 failed and 1 passed. The 2 that failed is the priest and the Levite, because why did they fail? Because they don't have pity on him. There's no compassion. Though they represent the religious sector, they don't have love in their heart. Okay? So parang in Tagalog, pakitang tao. Sa salitang kanto, plastic. Diba? Tupperware. Sabi nga nila yun. They don't walk the talk. So basically, they just talk, you know, they just simply like to be called, you know, in the prestige position, but they are not doing what they are meant to do. So they are very selective. They are biased. You know, and about the Samaritan, you know, the first thing that I would like us to understand is who are the Samaritans, or the Samaritan in person. Well, to give you some background about the Samaritans or the Samaritans, they are half-breed people. When we say half-breed people, Samaritans were despised by the Jews because they were known as half-breeds, half-Jewish, and half-Gentile. They are mixed marriage, so that's why half-breed. So where do they live? When the northern kingdom were taken captives by the Assyrians, oh, somebody is an Assyrian here. So when the northern kingdom were taken captive by the Assyrians, they intermarried with them to settle in the place that is called Samaria. So they live in Samaria and just north of Judea. Nagkaroon ng intermarried. Nakipangato sila. Okay? Jews and the Gentile, they intermarried and they formed this new group that called the Samaritans. They are idolatrous. You know, as usually happen in such cases, they adopt the worship of their false pagan god and falling into idolatry. They are supposed to be Jews, but because of their mixed intermarriage, they fall into that trap. They are detestable. When the Jews returned to Jerusalem and tried to rebuild the temple, the Samaritans would pour pig blood, pour pig's blood in the temple area. Yung dugo ng baboy.
which was to make the temple unclean, and the building projects of the temple had to be stopped so that the temple area could be cleaned up again. This was detestable to the Jews and polluted what they considered to be a holy place. Therefore, the Samaritans or the Samarians were hated even more than the Roman conquerors. So kaya sila kinagagalitan, the reason why a lot of people are mad about them because of the things that they have done. You know, they pollute the temple. Kumbaga sa ano, parang dinuduraan nila, kumbaga, di ba? So ganun yung kanilang ginagawa. They are an outcast and isolated. They would not even walk in Samaria. The Jews, they would not even walk in Samaria. But would go as far as out of their way, even if it was a longer trip, to avoid entering a Samaria. So imagine when a Jew is basically walking and they saw that a Samaritan is coming on their way, they would try to find a different route just to, because you know they have this mindset that the Samaritans were unclean. This is precisely what Jesus mentioned to the Samaritans in the parable, because he would be the least likely to ever to help these fellow Jews. Because the Samaritans also had a hate that was equal to that held by the Jews against the Jewish people because of the way that they were treated by them. So there is a continuous war between the Jews and the Samaritans. But the focus of this parable is on the Samaritan, a man mixed with dissent, considered an enemy to the Jews. Though not a Gentile and still under the law, the Samaritan customarily did not have dealings with the Jews. Hindi naman sila nakikipag-deal sa mga Jews eh. And simply considered farthest from the modern-day neighbor in every regard. You know, the Samaritan both felt and showed compassion towards the beaten man. He used the wine and the oil, an expensive good, to tend the man's wound. Mantakin niyo, ginamit niya yung wine, and what is that? An oil. And it's an expensive thing to tend yung para gamutin yung sugat ng lalaki. He took him into an inn, paid 2 days' salary for his care. You know, the 2 denarii, it is an equivalent of 2 days' salary. So, how much is your salary? Here. Well, don't mention it. Alam namin malaki salary. But the same amount that this man had given is a 2 days' salary. And when you go to a motel, those 2 days' salary is an equivalent of probably a 2 week stay. Diba yung salary mo for 2 days? You could stay in a hotel or in a regular hotel for probably 2 weeks. Magkano lang ba ang hotel? Remember, right? So that is the equivalent. So what is the point, brother? Why do you have to tell me this? No, the point is the man have done above and beyond what is expected of him, and this is his neighbor. So he paid the day of salary for his care and offered to pay more as needed, with no assurance of receiving anything in return. Beyond material contribution, the Samaritan gave up his own animal, remember, and his own comfort, resigning to walk to the inn and forfeited his anonymity by staying the night, and thereby risking false accusation or association for the crime. You know, what the Samaritan did is not a very simple thing. He can become an accused to that situation, diba? Pero he did it because of his compassion. That is the Samaritan, you know, the good thing that he did. And let me go now to my last point, the observation. And this is what our observation is. On verse 36, he asked the man, which of these do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And then the expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. You know, when the Lord asked this question, I was thinking about it when I was living it. If I was that person, you know, when he asked, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Is that a wrong question? Is that a wrong question? No, it's not a wrong question. It's a valid question. We need to know. It's the right question, but with the wrong intention. That's what makes it wrong. From the lawyer, right? And so you know what it has been said there. He asked that question to test Jesus Christ. The question is right, but the intention was wrong. So we need to ask this question too. What do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And this is what the Lord will tell me. The one who has mercy on him, do this and do likewise. What does this tell us? Basically, this tells us that probably, you know, it was not mentioned what happened to the man. If you're going to read that parable, because the truth of the matter is, that is not an existing man. Remember, this is just a parable, it's just a mixed story, right? But what's the point? The point is, the man understood that in order for him to inherit the eternal life, he needs to understand that he cannot perform every requirement, and he needs to come in the throne of God's mercy, and that's probably the reason why he mentioned the one who showed mercy. Who have given this answer? It was the Lord Jesus Christ who have given that answer, because he was the one telling that parable, and that answer came from the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The one who showed mercy. Now, this lawyer can say, Lord, now that I understand, I know now that I need mercy, that I could not really save myself, that no matter how expert I am, still, this is not enough. No matter how able to know the law, still I will not be able to pass. And I know that it is only through your mercy one will be saved. Though I am beaten up as a Samaritan, will be there. You as the Samaritan will be there. The true neighbor, the one who offered more of himself without self-preservation, the one who showed mercy. So in reality, who is the Samaritan? This was represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the truth of the matter is, no one loves his neighbor except the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He died on the cross for all of us. Right? And now that we realize all these things, now that we know that we're able to understand this parable, it's time for us to take part. You know, understanding is just one part that involves our mind. The other side is how we prove it in our action. And probably this is the reason why he said, yes, now go and do the same. You know, let us not be pretentious, do not become plastic, and let us not be somebody who prophesies that we are Christians but cannot see in our world. Let me go now to my conclusion. You know, on conclusion, there are four things that we learned from this afternoon. You know, the importance of the parable. You know, again, as I mentioned, the parable is just a story. We have to understand that all parables are salvation story. You know, these are not something that will help entertain us. All parable is meant to be understood and applied, and this is the way God's revelation and explanation to all of us. Ito yung paraan ng Lord para i-reveal niya. And we also understand the importance of the law. Remember, this parable does not wash down the importance of the law. You know, the law was designed not for individual. What do you mean by that? Nung ginawa pong law, when the law was created, it is designed for a group of people. And that hence, that reason why no one can surpass an individual. Because it is designed for a group of people. Initially, there was one law, but because of the way sin entered to the world, the law multiplies. Law is meant to be a guide, something to give order or to provide system. Law was intended to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And law, to some extent, it is not expected to be perfected. Law was introduced because of sin, and law is no longer applicable when we reach heaven, because sin will no longer be present. Kaya lang naman may law, but because of sin, alisin mo ang sin, hindi na kailangan ng law. You know, the importance of being a neighbor, we understand that it is important to be a neighbor, but ultimately, we need to understand that no matter how much we do, still wouldn't be enough, and it is important for us to have wisdom in understanding this parable as this were the revelation of God. It is important to understand and follow the law as Jesus mentioned, but he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It is equally important to love and be a neighbor, but these things will come to ways if we will not be able to see how it is connected to our salvation. In the first place, the parable was brought up because of that reason. What must we do to inherit the eternal life? A good question with a bad intention. Parables are salvation story, and they are meant to bring us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what I was telling a while ago, you know, when we hear parables, we have to understand what is really the context. Is this just to give compassion? No. This is meant for us to realize that we are not able to surpass the requirement. Yung sinabi ng Lord, do likewise. Do you think you could do that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your souls, with all your mind. That is just a guide for us. But once we see all this law, this should always make us understand and realize our insufficiency. And that is the reason why we need God's mercy. And that is the only time, once we realize that we need God's mercy, that's the only time we can attain salvation. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father God, again, we would like to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you have given to each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for using all these parables. We understand now, Lord God, that these parables are intended for us believers, and these were meant to be hidden for those who do not understand it, for those who are not in a walking in accordance here, Lord. Lord, help us to understand it more thoroughly. Understand the context in our life. Thank you, Lord God, because now we understand that every parable should be directed to you. That every parable should make us realize how insufficient we are. Thank you, Lord God, because you are the ultimate neighbor. That you are the only supreme Samaritan, Lord God, who was able to love us more than how we could expect this. Thank you, Lord God, again for that insight and for that message. And we just pray, Lord God, just like what you mentioned, that we are not only hearers of your word, but doers, Lord God. Lord, you have told us that we have to do it likewise. Lord, we would like to follow you. But how can we follow you if we are not going to obey you? Lord, help us to obey you first. Understand that we are sinners, that we cannot save ourselves. And only through them, we can come to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord God, once again, all these things we pray.